about the amazing love of God and how it applies to us as believers. How many realizes the scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He loves the world, He says, but He also loves believers. When God says the world, He's talking about humanity as a whole, but he focuses in here, and what I'm talking about this morning is the love of God that God has for believers. And sometimes in the church, people struggle with this, and they struggle with understanding the love of God, and consequently, because they struggle with this, they struggle with life as a whole. So I want to talk to you about that this morning, and I want to try to bring focus on the love of God, how it applies to us, what it means to us, and how it will empower us and help us as believers. How many believes that God wants us empowered? Oh, my goodness. How many believe that God wants us empowered? The Lord wants His believers to live a victorious, faith-filled life. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the victory, even our faith. We overcome the world." I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically the gist of what it says. God wants us to live overcoming, victorious lives in Christ. Jesus did not die so that we could be sad, busted, disgusted, broke, and messed up the rest of our lives. This is not the purpose of God. And in order to understand or be able to walk in victory, to walk in the goodness of God, to walk in the strength of God, if you will, we have to understand the love of God. And a lot of people say, "Well, I understand the love of God," but they don't, because their lifestyle speaks something different. So I want to touch on that this morning. I want to make you understand. I want to try to make us understand, because I know putting our hands around the love of God, what I mean by that is human reasoning is not enough. That's why I said this morning before we started the service, deep cry after deep. You have to reach out to a loving God with your spirit and grasp it by the Spirit. Because the Bible says the things of God, the Spirit reveals them to our spirit. Our minds are finite. And we're dealing with an infinite God whose love is beyond measure. Beyond human measure. And I'm going to touch on that. Here Paul is talking to the church in Ephesians, or Ephesus, the Ephesian Christians, and he prays this prayer, and there's a reason Paul prays this. Now, Paul had an advantage that a lot of us have not, that Paul was taken up to heaven on several occasions, either by vision. He said, "In the body, out of the body, I don't know. All I know, I was caught up to the third heaven." So he experienced some things that your everyday believer does not experience. So he understood some things that a lot of people don't. And he's trying to get the church to see some things that he understood. He's trying to get the church in Ephesus to understand something. And look what he says here. He says, "For this cause," for what cause? For him trying to get them to understand something. He says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you," now we can put our name there, you can say your name, "that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened," say strengthened, "strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man." He wants us to be strengthened. Go on, Brian. Scroll on if you would. That's it? That's all I got? He wants you to be strengthened with might in your inner man. But there's something that has to happen before that can happen. And it's the previous verses. He says that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that we being rooted and grounded in, say love. We have to be, the word rooted and grounded here is a word for established. We have to be a people that is established in the love of God. And Paul's praying that the church at Ephesus, and if the churches at Ephesus had this issue that they was not established in the love of God, then it's probably true today in our churches. That people are not rooted and grounded in the love of God. They're not established in the love of God. And God wants us to be established in His love. And look what He says. He says, verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints. That word comprehend means to fully understand, as best we can with our finite minds, the love of God. And He says, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? And to know the love of Christ, look at this, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to me carefully. He's saying that I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. I want you to comprehend. I want you to fully get this. You ever heard of somebody say, I want you to get this? You ever talk to your kid and they just don't get it? I remember mine growing up. Oh. And even today. Hello, Keith. Bless you, brother. Even today, sometimes we don't communicate. That means that I'm saying one thing, but he's hearing another thing. Are you listening? Sometimes in church, sometimes God is saying something, but yet we're not comprehending what he's saying. Because sometimes we come into church with problems and God gives us the answer and we leave with the problem. Well, what happened? We didn't understand. The Bible says when the word of God is the seed is sown in our heart. If we don't understand, immediately, say immediately. That means it don't waste no time that the devil comes and he steals the word that was sown in our heart and we're no better off than we was before we heard it. So comprehend means to get her. You ever heard somebody say, get your hands around that thing? If you can get your hands around it, you understand it. God's saying to us, he wants us to get a grip on the love of God, to understand the love of God. And he says to know the love of Christ. The love of God is in Christ, and it was given to us through Christ. And he says it passes knowledge. And then that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's how you get filled with the fullness of God. You've got to understand first that God is love. And if you ever can really understand that not only that God is, not God has love, God is love. If you can ever really understand that He is love and He loves you the way He wants you to understand He loves you, then you can be filled with the fullness of love, which is God. We're filled with a lot of things. You ever say, you're just full of foolishness? You ever heard anybody say that? We're filled with a lot of things, but one thing that we need to be filled with is the love of God. When he talks about the infilling of the Spirit, it's God. It's love. I can tell when somebody, I've heard people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, or I've seen people say they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me rephrase it. Only to see no evidence of a change in their life, meaning that the love of God causes change in us. And I've seen people get filled with something, and nothing changes in their life. I question, did they get filled with God, the Spirit of God? Because if there's no evidence of change, then I have to wonder, was it God? Was it the love of God? Paul said the love of God constrains us, means it keeps us from doing certain things. I want you to understand, I want to break this down for us this morning so we get a grip on this morning. And we leave here with a more sure foundation in our lives about the love of God. I believe when we really understand the love of God, like the scripture says, we will be strengthened with might in our inner man. And this word might comes from the same Greek word that is used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says that you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Remember, God is love. And remember, when He fills us, we should be filled with love. So if He fills us with Himself, we're filled with the love of God, which is, God is love. So in Acts 1:8, the word here for might is used as dunamis. And let me tell you what that word dunamis means. Here's what separates the unsaved from the saved. When we get filled with God, we get this dunamis that comes in us and upon us. And this word dunamis means an overcoming strength or ability, a miraculous power or ability, an abundance of might or strength and power. That's what the Greek breaks this down to. So when God comes into our lives and the love of God is shed abroad in our heart and we're filled with God, then there should be this miraculous working power, this ability that came from on high, an abundance of might and strength that we didn't have before. But if we don't fully understand the love of God, we will not experience being strengthened with might, this dunamis I'm talking about, this miraculous power, this ability, this abundance of might, strength, and power. Look at verse 17 and 18. God wants you to comprehend what is the breadth, the depth, and the length, and the height, and to know the love of God. Look what it says, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, that we'll be rooted and grounded in love. Here's what it's saying. Look what it says. What does this mean? I want you to get this. This is important. It says, not only are we to be filled with love, but he says that we have to understand it, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. We have to take it by faith. We have to understand that we operate in faith and love. They go hand in hand. What do I mean by that? I mean that your faith cannot be effective if the love of God is not there. Your faith cannot operate if the love of God is not there. Remember I said dunamis is power. It is a miraculous ability. It is strength and it is might. You cannot function in any of those without the love of God. That's why he says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Galatians 5:6, bring it up. Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. This is what I want you to get. But faith worketh by love. Faith, here's a better way to put it. Faith operates in our lives by love. No love, no miraculous working power, no dunamis in your life. Come on now. God does not operate outside of love. We have to have the love of God. We have to understand the love of God if we're going to let faith to operate in our life. Otherwise, we're powerless. And I'm talking about a power, a miraculous power, a strength from on high that is beyond your natural, normal power, ability. Faith operates or is activated when we have the love of God in our hearts and when we know that the love of God is there. What nullifies faith this morning? Well, a lack of love, but fear is the opposite of faith. Fear works just the opposite of faith. Fear will bring all of the things in your life that you don't want. All of the things that you want God to bring to pass in your life. All of the abilities of God to set you free from everything that binds you happens through faith and love. Fear is the opposite end of the spectrum, meaning that when you don't understand faith and love, you don't operate in faith and love, then the opposite of what you want from God in your life happens. Are you with me? So what I'm trying to, and I know I'm getting a little confusing here, but listen, faith is activated when the love of God, when we understand the love of God. Now listen, bring up 1 John 14. Faith is activated when the love of God, when we understand the love of God and we allow the love of God to function in our lives. Look what it says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Fear is the opposite of faith and love. And if we're not filled with the love of God and we don't understand the love of God, what's in its place? Fear. Look what it says. Because fear brings torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. All that's saying in a nice way is that if you want to live in the overcoming strength that the Lord offers us, you've got to do it through love. You've got to grasp love. You've got to understand love. Otherwise, you'll be in fear, because there is no in-between. You see this in-between these aisles? You don't have love, fear, and then I can stand somewhere in between. There is no in-between. It's either love and faith or fear and torment. So, the importance is that we understand the love of God. Because if we don't, the Bible says that fear takes hold of our lives. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casteth out fear. What does it mean, perfect love casteth out fear? It means when we finally get a hold of the love of God and we begin to fully grasp the love of God, we begin to understand the love of God, we find a security in the love of God, then we can have faith operating in our lives. But if we don't have that security and that understanding of the love of God, faith is not going to operate in your life. And your life as a believer, and I see it every single day, people in the church that are tormented because they don't really grasp the love of God. And that's not God's best. That's not what God wants for the church. That's why Paul prayed for the church that we'd grasp this love of God. Are you beginning to see this morning the importance of understanding the love of God? Go back to Ephesians 3:19. Hey, I want to break that down for you. And he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. He tells you to know something, and that means to understand, perceive, or be sure of. That'd be a good way to put it. God wants you to be sure of the love of God. Say that with me. I'm sure of the love of God. He tells us to know, understand, perceive, or be sure of. God wants you to know that the love He has for us, and He wants us to be sure of it. Now, scroll back to verse 18. He says, God wants you to... Go back to 18, Brian. Ephesians 3:18. He wants us to... that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, and the length of the love of God. Listen to this word here. Look at it close. It almost sounds like it contradicts itself, which passeth knowledge. But it doesn't. He wants you to know the love of God. He wants you to be sure of or comprehend the love of God, which he goes on to say, which passeth knowledge. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. How can I know the love of God if it's beyond knowledge? I'm going to tell you. He's saying you can't humanly understand with human reasoning. This word knowledge is a word science that we use, and it's the word that we got from modern day science. It means understanding. You can't fully understand with your mind the love of God. Listen to me. Here's a way to put it. Human reasoning will not ever fully comprehend the love of God. Why? Because when you fall flat on your face, a human reasoning, how many knows when somebody fails and they just keep making blunder after blunder after blunder after blunder, that people begin to write them off? Human reasoning says they're not worth investing in anymore. But God says, love says, love never fails and love never gives up.
That's right, Pastor.
Now you beginning to see what I'm talking about? human reasoning says, I've went as far as I can go with this, but I'm not going to go any further. But God says, I'll go another mile. Are you seeing this? And when you fall flat on your face as a believer and a Christian, and the devil begins to kick you down with condemnation, guilt, shame, and everything that goes with falling flat on your face, be sure that if you don't understand the love of God, some people never recover, never get up. That's why he's saying it passes knowledge. It's hard to understand. How can God love me when I make blunder after blunder after blunder? I'll be honest with you this morning. I'm the pastor. I feel like I'm very spiritually mature, but I still blunder. I still make mistakes. And there's times when I do stuff, walk out of love, walk out of the character of God, and I do stuff, and then I find myself going, how can you love me, Lord? I can't even love myself. This is what I'm talking about this morning. God wants you to understand. He wants you to be sure of His love towards you, to understand the love of God. And I know it's hard to explain, and human reasoning has a hard time with this, but it's not human reasoning. This is God reasoning. We're not going to be able to get to grasp it fully with our minds. We have to accept it by the Spirit of God and get it deep down in our spirits. Because when you're down and when the devil's pouncing on you and telling you you're no good, you're never going to make it, you're always going to be this way. If you begin to listen to that, you're not listening to the love of God. Fear begins to take hold. And you'll never progress in your walk with the Lord that way. And that's why it's important this morning that we understand that the love of God, no matter what we do, is always there for us. God wants you to be sure, first of all, that this love exists. And God's feelings of love towards you are so deep that your natural mind can't grasp it. It will have trouble receiving it. His love is immeasurable by science or human reasoning. And this is why we have to receive it by faith. It's important to have a good understanding of the love of God, but you need to understand beyond all of that is get established in the love of God. Paul wrote these words inspired by the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. And I want to read that to you. It goes with what we're saying. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Let me back up. This word distress is the same word we use for stress. Ever feel stressed out? Ever feel like in your stress because you know that the Bible says the peace of God is ours and it's available to us? And yet you're not grasping it, you're not having it at that moment in time. May last for a moment, may last for an hour, may last all day, may last some of you for 6 months. And I'm not saying that to make light of you. I'm just trying to let you see that people can get in the mode of something and it's hard for them to break out of a cycle. And you ever feel distressed and you feel like God is 1,000,000 miles away from you? Huh? And you question, say question. You question the love of God. And God's telling you right here. Who? Let me put a word in here. And I don't think I'll do it any injustice. Because it's not really who. It shouldn't. That's the wrong word there. I mean, it could be people that can cause you to feel separated from the love of God. There are some nasty people in this world, for sure. But I think a better word here would be nothing. I think some of the other translations, if you have a New Living or Amplified or something, would say it probably that way. Because really, if you read the whole text, this is what it's saying. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation. How many has been tribulating lately? The world is going through tribulation right now. We're just now starting to come out of it. And they're feeling, the Bible says in Romans 8, that the world is feeling the groans and the pains of the birth pains of what's to come. All of us are feeling it in some form or another. tribulations or stress or distress or persecutions. Ever been persecuted where people talk about you and say bad things about you and make light of you and do different things and make you feel like you're nobody? Or famine, and you may be going through a time of lack in your life? Or nakedness? Thank God you're all dressed this morning. Or peril or sword? Did you know some of the people that are in Africa, and I was watching this Travel the Road last night, the missionary show in Sudan and in Rwanda, where they're just killing Christians for no reason. You think that there's times that they feel alienated from the love of God? Look what it says. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Keep going, Brian. Nay, in all things, say all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that what?
Loved us.
Say loved us.
Loved us.
He loves us. That's where we find the conquering ability and the strength and the power and the dunamis, the power and the dunamis I'm talking about is in the love. That's where we're going to be overcomers. That's where we're going to be more than conquerors. Look at Paul said, for I am persuaded neither death nor life or angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come, nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wrote these words and he was definitely inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, nothing shall separate us. Let me ask you this morning, do you think Paul experienced any tribulation? Do you think he understood all of his tribulations? No. Paul experienced rejection. He experienced hunger. He experienced shipwreck. He experienced imprisonment, peril, stoned and left for dead. Matter of fact, they thought he was dead, and the rocks just kept... He kept undoing them one at a time until he finally got out and rose up and walked away from that. Do you think he understood the love of God? I believe Paul was grasping it, or he wouldn't have been praying it for the Ephesian church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 through 5, look what it says. It says, this is Paul speaking from experience. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. He understood suffering, but also see that Paul understood something else, the positive, and that's in 2 Corinthians verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Look at it. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even our lives. None of us has been that far, I don't think. But look, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and, say, doeth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver. That word doeth means He does deliver on an ongoing basis. That word yet means He continues to deliver. Paul had consolation in this one thing, that he knew that nothing can separate him from the love of God, no matter what he went through, that God would always be there. He'd never leave him. He'd never forsake him. He would never give up on him, no matter what happened to Paul, no matter how bad Paul had been. Listen, Paul said, I was chief among sinners. And he said, He will deliver me. He not only has He delivered me, but that word yet means continue. He will continue to deliver me. Why? Because Paul knew the love of God. Paul knew the love of God, and Paul was praying that we'd understand the love of God. So no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what you've experienced, the love of God is still there for you. He said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from God's grace. I'm amazed. Not your family issues, not your sickness, not your financial difficulties, not your tribulations. He said, not even things present or things to come. Let me tell you something, church. You don't have to worry about the future. Well, the world's going the world's going to hell in a handbasket. No, it's not. Because God says it's not. He says, nothing's going to separate you from the love of God, not what's going on in the present, and not what's going on in the future. You don't have to be stressed out about what's going on. Because the love of God is there for you. And He's going to see you through it. Now, how deep does this love go? He says, I want you to understand the breadth, the length, the height, the breadth and the depth and the length and the height of the love of God. How far, how wide, how deep does it go? Think about this morning. You remember the story of Peter. He was Jesus' right-hand man, him and John. The two that really walked with Jesus hand in hand. And this is what happened. The day that Jesus needed Peter to stand by him, he bailed out on him. Huh? Instead of standing strong for the Lord, he fell flat on his face. He said, Jesus, I'm ready to die with you if necessary. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, before the cock crows in the morning three times, you're going to deny me three times. The love of God, I want to show you how far it will go. So I'm telling you, if it can go this far for Peter, it can go that far for you. You have not went too far that God's love can't reach you. You have not went too far. He denied Jesus. He ran. The Bible says he went and he went back to his fishing business. He didn't want to do any more of the gospel. He didn't want to walk with God. Why? Because he didn't understand the love of God. What did Jesus do to him? When Jesus appeared to him, did he beat him down? Huh? Did he scold Peter? No. He brought him back into the grace of God by the love of God. I'm telling you this morning, whatever you've experienced in this life, the love of God is greater. And God's saying, I want you to understand the breadth and the depth and the length and the height of it. You know what happened to Peter after Jesus had this experience with him? He became the rock that Jesus had prophesied to him in the middle of the Gospels there, where he said, Peter, your name is going to go from this to Peter, which means rock, solid rock. He calls Peter to get a hold of this might and this strength and this energy that I'm talking about of the Holy Spirit, because he is the love of God in his life. He was able to grab a hold of it and become somebody for God because of it. I'm telling you this morning that you may think you're the biggest failure that ever was. You may think when it comes to the things of God that you have fallen flat on your face and you can't seem to get ahead. You can't seem to forge forward in God and move in God. And that the devil's telling you this morning that not only are you a failure, but that God doesn't love you anymore. But I'm telling you this morning, God still loves you in spite of your failures. God loved you even when you were His child. How much more when you become His child? We need to know, this is what it means, perfect love casteth out fear. We need to know that we're never going to be rejected. Jesus said, all that are put in my hand, I'll not lose any. We're not going to be rejected by God. The Bible says we pass from judgment unto life. But you can't be successful in this Christian life unless you understand that no matter how many times you fall, the Bible says the righteous fall seven times and get up. No matter how many times you fall, you can get up because Christ still loves you. His love, listen to this, and it's doing that to you this morning. His love pursued Peter. He didn't let Peter just walk away and go back to his old life as if nothing had ever happened. His love pursued Peter, and he's pursuing us this morning. Human reasoning has a hard time with this, because if anybody in the church had got up and denied Christ before us all, we would have just wrote them off. Peter left Jesus at his most critical time and denied him. But Christ was there for him at his most vulnerable time. This love caused this might, this dunamis, God's power and ability to come into Peter's life. It caused him to become an overcomer and to be one of the heads of the church. I want to share with you a couple more instances. Look at Romans 5 and 8. It said, God commendeth his love towards us. Romans 5 and 8. God commendeth His love towards us while we were yet sinners. We were still messed up, and God loved us. God loved you while you were a sinner. His love was pursuing you while you were a sinner. How much more after you get born again? We get all messed up in our head that thinking once we get born again that there's no room for failure and mistakes again. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Let's look at one more character before I close. We talked about the great apostle Paul, and I'm going to show you how he understood the love of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Saul was wreaking havoc in the church, persecuting and hauling to prison men and women. As Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. For those who don't know, Saul is Paul. Saul, before he had an encounter with the love of God, Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling, that should be hauling, men and women, committing them to prison. Now bring up chapter 9. I want to show you how God reacted to Saul's threats and Saul's hauling people to prison and doing the things he did. And Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, people who were Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Here's how we would operate. Someone's persecuting the church. Someone's really coming down on us, making it hard for us to be Christians. What do we do? What do we do? We're like the disciples. Call down fire from heaven on them, Lord. Huh? Consume them, Lord. But this is not how the love of God operates. The love of God, we know that Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. That very next verse, I don't want to read it, but as he left this place, he was heading to the road to Damascus, and a great light came upon Paul. And when that light hit him, Paul knew immediately who it was. Listen to what he said. Paul says, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus says, "I'm the one you're persecuting." And then his life was transformed by the love of God. What I'm telling you this morning is, let the love of God saturate you. He's pursuing you this morning. God is pursuing you this morning. You remember the lady at the well. Jesus had an encounter with the lady at the well. And His love, she encountered the love of God. You remember the woman and her life was changed forever. She became an evangelist and people all over that town was getting saved. You remember the woman that was caught in adultery. Look at me, church. You remember the woman that was caught in adultery. The religious group of the day wanted to stone her. Much like the religious group today. But God was pursuing her with His love. He wants you to understand, come on up, Nina, the fullness of His love. And it's in Christ. God wants you to comprehend His love. Here's what He wants you to do this morning. He wants you to receive it by faith. He wants you to accept it. And lastly, He wants you to experience it. How many wants to experience the love of God this morning? I'm going to open the altars. If you don't know Jesus and you want an encounter with God this morning, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about an encounter with the living God. You make your way to the altar. If you failed miserably in your Christian walk and you want to experience God in a real way today, I want to pray for you today. Anybody at all? I know that this message is for somebody. I know God wants to touch some lives this morning. If you've walked in your Christian walk and you've stumbled and you failed and you've made miserable mistakes, understand this morning the love of God. Okay, just a moment. Okay, we'll pray for you in just a moment. And you've made miserable mistakes and you want God to strengthen you with might so that you can be an overcomer. I want to pray for you this morning. Every one of us in here that's living victorious this morning came this road. The love of God pursued us. Listen to me carefully. You ever heard the old saying, you can run but you can't hide? When God puts His target on your life, He's going to pursue you till He corners you. I'm telling you, it's much easier to come willing than the other way. Anybody else, if you need prayer for anything while we're praying for these folks, just make your way to the front. I want to pray for you.